Welcome to Resiliency Redefined. I'm your host, Robin, and I am thrilled to share with you information about resiliency, well-being, performance, education, business, parenting, and everything in between. I'm committed to joining you each week to talk about these big ideas and bring them into action, habits, tools, strategies, tactics that allow us to finally uncover what it takes to truly be well. And I'm just so excited that you're here. Hello, hello. This is Robin. And oh my goodness, once again, welcome. I'm so appreciative that you have hit play, that you are here to have this conversation with me, to be able to be part of this ongoing collective talking about all things resiliency and well-being. And again, it's not lost on me when I think of it, like all of like the bazillions of podcasts that are out there that you're choosing to spend time here. And I just want you to know, I appreciate it. Like, wholeheartedly. So this is episode 3, still wildly uncomfortable, not knowing exactly how to do it right, but trusting the process that this is this messy middle that I'm going to continue to push through and try my best to learn from and learn all about. Again, I just appreciate this idea that we can be like a rookie at something, that we can start something new and not have it all dialed in and perfect before we share it with the world. And sometimes the fact that when we share the process versus just the final before and after pictures of something, I think can really be of service to many people who also might be feeling a wee bit nervous about putting their thing out into the world, despite the fact that the thing that you are willing to share and are able to share with the world, I wholeheartedly believe it's needed. And you're exactly the person who needs to do it. So whatever you're imagining, pushing forward and creating and co-creating, I hope you can embrace the messy middle as well, be a rookie as I am doing here with you on episode 3 of this podcast, which tentatively is still called Resiliency Redefined, as we reimagine what's possible when we think of the human condition and potential. So last episode, we talked about the 5 pillars. This was the research that I introduced that I've been working with quite closely for so many, many years. And I wanted to take a deeper dive into each one of those pillars. And I thought today would be a perfect day to talk about belonging. One of the things that we see in this research is that the sense of belonging, sense of community is absolutely critical to our ability to be resilient. We are social creatures. We are designed to be in community. We're designed to like be able to like navigate the hard parts, the hard seasons when we are with our people, when we have those people around us. Now, what's so fascinating about the concept of belonging, that there's a construct in psychology in research that they use with children, and it's called the ACE scores. It's adverse childhood experience. And essentially how it works is the higher your ACE scores, being exposed to certain things during developmental seasons like childhood, the higher your ACE score, the more difficulty you will have being able to be a functional grown-up, right? So if you've been exposed to this as a child, the research says this is going to be harder for you to be a functioning adult. However, what is so incredible about this research is that it shows, though, that one caring, consistent champion can offer a hedge of protection around a child where they would not succumb to those outcomes because of that one person. That person in their world that looks after them. And sometimes perhaps it could be a family system member. It could be an auntie. It could be a cousin. Other times it could be an educator. It could be a coach. It could be a bus driver. It could be like a neighbor. It's that one person that won't let that child fall between the cracks. They won't get left behind. And why I share that as we talk about this construct of belonging is, to me, it speaks to the power of connection. The fact that when we are with our people, when we are with that person that sees us and holds space for us, we're like unstoppable. Now, when we also think about belonging, another kind of season where this kind of sprouts up is adolescence. And as a mama of three teenagers, like I see this. I see boots on the ground, what adolescence looks like right now and how difficult it could be for some adolescents to be able to like negotiate between belonging and fitting in. And I think a lot of folks right now, maybe even grownups, are spending a lot of time trying to fit in, and very few are actually getting that deep sense of belonging. And that's why it is so important for our adolescents when they're navigating that season to be able to have that home team, that person in their corner that's going to hold them accountable. And as we age and as we develop and grow, one of the things that we see is like, it doesn't have to be the same person for your whole life. People will kind of come in at different times. And we even know, for example, when we lose a primary attachment figure, right? That person might have been the person who was keeping you safe, made you feel secure, felt resourced and well-grounded. And then when you're separated from that person, it's going to be substantive. It's going to be like what we call like a mother wound, like a major injury. And there's hope that we develop other relationships and connections and sense of community that will actually, again, help us even get through that idea when we lose the people that matter most to us. Now, as we go into adulthood, again, this sense of connection, it just is as important, I would say, as it is during those developmental years. We need to have a home team where we can be like our messy selves, where we don't always have to be dialed in and on a point. Like we can just be seen for who we actually are and loved unconditionally, like accepted with all of those parts, the dark parts, the bright parts, and everything in between. And I recall years ago, I was interviewed on a podcast and somebody asked me, and it was around Valentine's Day. And they said, okay, so, you know, Robin, you know, you have this successful marriage. You know, what was it about your partner that like you were first drawn to? And I didn't even like hesitate. And I said, well, I totally married Jeff because he was good for my nervous system. And I appreciate in reflection that probably wasn't the most like romantic response that they were looking at during Valentine's Day, but it was so true. One of the things that I know about my relationship with my husband is that like he literally is the best antidote to my very weary nervous system. I feel so safe and seen and accepted in all of the iterations of what I am, all of my parts that he can hold space for. And so again, when we find those connections in adulthood, it's so important because when we have those sense of belonging, when we have that sense of belonging, that's when we can then go out into the big world and we can take risks. We can try new things. We can, you know, be able to like handle the ebbs and flows of what's out there when we have a soft place to land. And there's going to be seasons in these like adult relationships where it's like, there'll be times when they like stand beside you to like cheer you on, right? And perhaps you have some great friends that are like soul sisters or soul people in your life that like stand beside you to like cheer you on. Maybe they stand behind you to give you that little nudge of encouragement to take that big risk. And there's going to be other times where they might stand in front of you to protect you, maybe even protect you from yourself if you're perhaps on a difficult path or perhaps a path that might be a bit maladaptive. So the relationships and our sense of community, our sense of connection is so vital for our capacity to be well, to be able to be resilient. Now, something else that I know about is it's really hard to make those type of connections in adulthood, right? And I know for myself, as somebody who I went to several different high schools, I had a really tumultuous adolescence. I had really even difficulty in my first few programs that I did in post-secondary. Like I don't have that like tribe of friends that like have seen me since like toddlerhood all the way into middle adulthood. And I know sometimes for myself, I almost sometimes feel a little bit envious when I look at people who've had friends for decades because that wasn't available. And because I personally was in such this place of like evolution and shifting. And again, because of my own experiences with trauma and recovery and like the people that I was friends with in adolescence, they definitely weren't coming with me into adulthood. I had to make some changes. And then when you go through, for example, big relationship shifts, you know, usually like, yeah, I know when people say like, you know, they separate things and it's 50-50. Well, often like our friends get separated and they kind of pick sides and it's hard to stay neutral neutral to be Switzerland. So again, even after relationships ending, those persons that were part of my world for that particular time, they didn't come into the next iteration. And that's okay. And so one of the big ideas I want to just hold space for us right now is it's okay if we haven't had friends that are consistent, the same group all the way through. Sometimes it is a bright blessing, and that's amazing that some people have it. I would say there's actually more people who don't have it, and that is okay. And it's also okay, for example, that we have really close colleagues and connections and friendships at work, and we like spend so much time with them. The research actually shows we spend more time awake with our colleagues, our clients, our students, our staff, than like in adulthood, than we even do with our own families. Okay. So we spend more time awake in the work environment, if we work outside of the home, with those people than we do with our own family. So yeah, no wonder you're going to hopefully be able to develop some great friendships that are in the workplace. And then you might notice you move to a different job. You go to a different place, and all of a sudden that person you spoke to like literally 5 days a week, all of a sudden you notice you guys don't talk as much anymore. And again, that is okay too. So the gentle invitation is to recognize that, you know, yes, it would be optimal if we had these ideal connections that were consistent all the way through. What's important is that we have the right people around us for the season that we are in. And again, it's going to look really different. Super hard to make friends as a grown-up. I get that. And it's part of the process. We are able to make new connections and evolve and adapt and be able to find our home team. Now, the other kind of idea I want to share with you, and I thought this was so fascinating when we saw this in the research, was that most people shared that if they were going through something very deep or dark or hard, that they do have at least one phone call, which I'm so glad. I'm so glad that we have that one phone call, right? And they use that kind of terrible example. If it's like, okay, if you kind of fell down the stairs and you had your phone, you can call one person, who are you calling? And of course, in my mind, I'm like 911. But the whole idea is that you're meant to have like that friend, that call no matter what, will come and get you. Well, what's interesting about that is like, okay, that's great that we have this one friend. The question is that one friend also like, or family, maybe it's a family member, like, could they be your 3 a.m. call, right? Could they be their call when it's like wildly inconvenient? So we have a lot of people that might show up for us during like standard business hours, which is great. And my gentle invitation is to make sure that we have somebody who shows up at that 3 a.m., like somebody that actually, no matter what, that we know that we have a trusted ally in the world. We have to have that phone call. We have to have that lifeline. And I would also suggest we have to have, so we don't want just like a, you know, 8 p.m. friend or a 12 p.m. friend. We also want the 3 a.m. friend. Okay. Those are really, I think, very important. The other thing though, is essentially, again, to really cultivate this sense of belonging and grown-uphood, is that we need the friend who will celebrate our wins with us. As I shared with you on episode one, one of the things that I see is women, in a lot of cases, they're scared of their greatness. They want to stay like small. They want to stay like just under that line because there's a lot of negative narratives around successful women. And it's hard to like, especially make friends when you are in that place of success. And so I know a lot of kind of women are like putting these ceilings on themselves. And please hold space. I also recognize that there are enormous systemic and societal barriers and ceilings that are put on women as well. This isn't women have created this problem and women are perpetuating it. There are a lot of moving variables. This is a wicked problem. And I also see there's a lot of women that are scared of their success, which also in turn means that I see a lot of women who don't have people to share their wins with, that they don't have that, like, you know, person that they can do, you know, call up and be like, hey, this amazing thing just happened for me. Because I think what happens in that case is it shows this kind of little bit of a spotlight on this like shadow culture and some of these friendships that they're actually like they're not probably as like supportive as we might hope them to be or wish them to be. You know, like I remember telling when I was teaching social psychology, telling my students, it's like we all want to have like a super attractive friend, but just slightly less attractive than us. We want like a super successful friend, but just slightly less successful. Or, you know, the human tendency is like we want our, you know, we want our partner to be is super attractive and our, you know, our friends to have, you know, attractive spouse, but not quite as attractive and successful as ours, right? Like that's part of this like evolutionary psychology. There's no shame. It's just the way we're kind of hardwired. But what that does, though, is it creates this like tension between this idea of like, hey, something really great happened. Do you have somebody that you can call and share that with? And I hope that you do. I hope that you have somebody that when you have that win that you have worked so hard for, that you have that one person that you can say, like, hey, this crossed the finish line, or this just happened, and I wanted to share it with you. And they show up for you in a place where they're just like happy for you. And I think it was like Oprah recently, she was asked about her relationship with Gail. And I think Gail and Oprah are just such a cool examples of these really strong women who found one another. And one of the things that I love that Oprah said about how her relationship with Gail was so successful is that Gail never wanted to be Oprah, and Oprah didn't want to be Gail. They had very different aspirations and they were happy for each other because they were kind of doing their own thing and they knew who they were and what they were evolving and becoming. And there wasn't any competition. And Oprah said, you can't have friends that are jealous of you. And I just thought that was such a cool kind of snapshot of, you know, this idea of this evolution of these friendships in terms of having people that genuinely want to see you succeed. So that's just like, and it actually, my friend Jill and I, we kind of talk about this as like, you know, this kind of like the hotline where it's like, hey, the celebratory hotline, we can chat and we can share that. And we also talk about the fact that we don't have a ton of people we can do that with. And so, and my friend Peter Katz also talks about how, like, you know, it's really hard to find people who want to share in your success for your benefit. Okay. So, goodness, it's a lot coming at you. The sense of belonging. The other piece, and this is actually a gentle invitation, because often when we think about belonging, we always think about like other people. And yes, that's part of the social connection. The other part that I want to invite you to think about is this idea about you belonging with yourself, like you being comfortable in your own skin, comfortable in your decisions, comfortable in your life, like so confident in you as who you are. Kind of this idea that like you know who you are and you know who you are not, and you're just like able to like be in that place of authenticity. And I know authenticity gets thrown around a lot right now. When we're around it, oh my gosh, you can feel it. Like you can sense it when it's just genuine and it's real and it's so refreshing in a world of like highlights. I just think authenticity is pretty powerful. Now, recently, I was asked by somebody like, okay, where's your happy place, Robin? Right. We're talking about, you know, where is your happy place? Where do you go where you feel like happy, safe, secure, content, whatever you want to call it. And what was so remarkable is for a really long time, I used to have like places like kind of in my mind, right? Where I'd be like, oh, I can, you know, imagine myself at the lake house. I can imagine myself on a beach. I can imagine myself, you know, in these different places in the world. And I don't even know when this happened. But there was a shift because when I was asked that question not that long ago, I realized like my happy place is essentially wherever my feet are. That I am so appreciative that in my own work, in my own recovery, in my own work that I've navigated, is that now like I am just like content in my own body. Like I can turn inwards when the world gets too noisy, when things get too overwhelming. I'm able to like turn inwards and I can like tap into that place of security within myself. Now, my friends, I assure you that this is still a work in progress. This is something that I'm coming upon. It's something I'm working towards. And I also remember what it felt like to keep myself so busy. Like, I mean, from the moment my eyes like opened in the morning to the time I passed out, like 18, 20 hours later, I would keep myself so busy because I was essentially running away from myself. And you can't run away from your own 2 feet. Yet, for almost like, gosh, decades, I was so uncomfortable in my own person that I was like doing anything and everything to stay busy enough to be able to not have to like sit with myself. And it's exhausting, like psychologically, emotionally, spiritually, physically, it is exhausting. And anytime I would start to slow down, I noticed all these big pesky feelings would start to come up. And then I just get back to work. I get back to being busy because I just couldn't figure out how to like reconnect with myself, especially after many, many years of trauma. So having said all of these things, the big idea I want to share with you on this episode is belonging is so important. We are social beings. We're meant to be in community 100%. And there's amazing research that talks about why this is so important. The piece that I think is so often missing, and what's my kind of contribution to this conversation, is the importance of belonging within yourself. That doesn't mean we're lone wolves. That doesn't mean we have to carry the weight of the world alone with our two hands. What it means is that we get to a point where we accept who we are, we know who we are not, and trust, like in our bones, that we're enough, that we are exactly where we need to be, who we are. And yes, we always are in an iteration of evolution, 100%. And where we are okay right now is good. And I trust that where you are right now is exactly where you need to be. If something's ahead for you in your future, remember, if it's meant for you, it won't miss you. So you're exactly on course. The question is as we're on course, can we ensure that we're like really present? We're present with ourselves, with our community. And the last little takeaway I'll share with you here, because I'm mindful we're coming up to the 20 minutes and the 20 minutes feels like the sweet spot so far, is it was based on the writing of Dr. Toni Morrison, who is just such an amazing writer and thinker. And this was this little piece about connection that has like spoke to me my whole life. And I've brought it into the lives raising my children. And it's this one connection practice, which I think, again, speaks to belonging. It's this: when you reunite with your loved ones, whoever is your home team, and the more like Motley Crue mashed up your home team, I think the better. When you reconnect with that crew, I want your face to light up. That's what she wrote. Have your face light up. Now, a wee while ago, it was awesome. Jax was coming home and I stopped what I was doing to like welcome him in the house. And he just happened to have a friend coming with him. And all of a sudden I stopped what I was doing to welcome the boys into the house. We had a little chit chat and then they went around the corner and I heard his friend say to Jax, he said, "Jax, dude, your mom is like the golden retriever of mothers. Like, holy goodness, does she ever get excited to see you?" And Jax said, "Yeah, she's always done that. And it feels really good." So my friends, even though I'm just connecting with you on perhaps on audio or maybe you are watching this on YouTube, however you're interacting with this content, I just want you to know every time I know that you're out there, like my face is lighting up. I'm just so excited that our paths have crossed. And my invitation is to take that joy, that excited to see one another and share it with the people who matter most with you. And I think that works. So my friends, take good care. I'll connect with you again soon. And thank you. Thank you. Thank you for taking time to hit play. It means the world to me that we can be doing this together. I'm glad you're here. Bye for now. Thank you for spending time with this podcast episode today. I hope you found something helpful in Resiliency Redefined. Please feel free to share it with somebody who you might think could benefit. Maybe there was something useful, something in particular that you think you could pay forward. Also, if you have a moment, please feel free to rate and review this podcast wherever you like to listen to your podcast. It means the world to me. And again, thanks for your time. Thank you for your interest. Take good care, and I'll see you next time.